And here we go. Hey, Dr. David.
What's up, Jamie? My fresh-faced, haircut-driven friend. I honestly, I'm like, thought I was in the Twilight Zone. I was asking, where did Jamie go? Because I don't think I've seen you like this in years, man.
Nah, just completely clean-shaven, a little flushed here. I got the red screen on, too, to make myself look even a little bit more red here. But
yeah, that's a little crazy to me, but it is what it is.
Well, how's that? How's your good knee?
The good knee is good. The bad knee is not as bad as it was last week, so that's good.
Yeah, that's improving. So yeah, you're down to one crutch?
Yeah, one crutch, man. I'm a superstar on one crutch now. Feels good, man.
Well, one physical crutch. I assume you have a lot of other, you know, emotional and mental crutches. But
yeah, man, yogurt and waffles, man. I have a crutch of yogurt and waffles.
There you go. I didn't know you were a big what type of yogurt do you eat?
Greek yogurt. And usually the next question is are you a traditional Greek yogurt? I am a all Greek yogurt fan. Specifically, the consistency in Greek yogurt is a little bit thicker.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I like. Even though if you just give me plain old Yoplait or anything like that, I'll eat that too.
Yeah. I mean, Greek yogurt kind of took over, though. Like, I feel like couple, maybe like 10 years ago, you went to the store, there were like two or three varieties of Greek yogurt, right? And yeah, that was it. And everything was regular yogurt. And then now I feel like even finding regular yogurt is harder now. Like, it's all Greek yogurt.
It is all Greek yogurt. And believe it or not, what I love eating too is quickly is like those Go-Gurts. I love those, man. Right? My kids get them all the time. They eat yogurt. But like, I love to eat them too, man, because they're just like a quick snack.
Yeah, well, we'll transition with that one. So finding things to save time, right? So food on the go. You know, one of the things we wanted to talk about today was just time management, just in general. And I thought that it's a powerful message. You know, I think whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're getting started in this profession, or wherever you sit in life, managing time is ultimately a super important task to getting things done, to enjoying yourself, whatever it may be. So I figured we'd kind of, you know, talk about that a little bit today. Some of the things you do, some of the things I do that works, and probably some of the things we don't do well that are also hurdles out there. I think it's always good to recognize those. You know, I think I have a lot of those in life where I can get easily distracted, as I know you can too. You know, as we start talking about, you know, what type of Greek yogurt we like the most, can very quickly devolve into an hour long conversation about yogurt and yogurt related foods.
I sell propane and propane accessories, my friend.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Hank Hill. And, you know, it's probably a reference everybody doesn't get on the show, but great, you know, King of the Hill. Great show.
Great show. Now, I mean, so time management is an interesting one because, and I think, you know, I think you originally told me about this, but then Ryan Carson, I had a chance to talk to him a couple years ago and we were at Excel. Shout out to Carson. And he was just saying, you know, he learned from his grandson, someone came up to the door at home, knocked on the door, he answered it. And I forgot the gist of it, but basically they asked him if he wanted something. He said, no, thank you. Closed the door. And Ron was just like, yeah, you know, I learned something that day, right? It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no, thank you. And the thing that I struggle with, especially now, and I'm getting better at it, and I think it's a struggle that a lot of people go through when you aren't having all the opportunities there are, and you start to just say yes to everything. So then your time becomes very constrained. And I had another person very senior to me, and they were like, hey, you know, how are you doing on time management? I was like, I'm good at time management. And they're like, no, you're not. You never say no, right? Saying no tells me that you manage your time well. The fact that you say yes to everything says that you don't manage your time well. So I'm evolving with that as well. And I think it's something that I didn't really think about before. And a common thing that I'm always getting is, how do you do everything that you do? And the question, it always perplexes me because I'm like, man, how do I do everything I do? I just sort of fit it in. And I know you're the same way, but you're way more organized than I am.
Yeah, so I don't know that I'm more, or I've gotten more organized over time. So it's an interesting thing. I've gotten away with this, as I know you do too, is that So sometimes I have to give people different advice than what I live by. So like my brain's pretty good. So is yours. We've been able to get by a lot of times in life without being as organized because we don't forget as many things, right? I mean, just the reality is like you tell us 13 things to go to the store. We come back with 13, right? Like we're good at that. Not everybody is. Some people go, they get six of the 13 and they're like, oh, I forgot the other seven. And you're like, well, you need to write them down. Now, you know, whether it's aging or just more things in life, I need to write things down more than I used to have to, right? And like I try to get in the habit of that. I take pretty good notes now where I used to never take notes. I didn't take notes in school that well. I didn't take notes in work that well. And then recently I've decided that, you know, there's a value of that and kind of recording down the thoughts, takeaways, passing them along to other people. And that's made me more efficient as I've had to take on more things that have, you know, I'd say more time pressing nature to them. The other thing is I do want to talk about that, like say yes or no concept, because I posted this conversation on X, Twitter, and LinkedIn, whatever you want to say, and said, what are some of your time management techniques? And, you know, we had somebody on there that said, you know, you can't say no early on in your career and that'll really hamper your career. And there's a big truth to that part, right? Like, when you're early on, you want to show that you got grit and you've got hustle. And when somebody brings something to you, you say yes. Now, I think that I forget who taught me this part, but, you know, there was like the yes if aspect. And I don't think I heard that early on in my career. I just remember Professor David Littell, there was a professor at Wharton University that he told me about that basically said yes to everything. And then he just figured it out, right? Like the answer, you walked in and they said, yes, you want to take on this project? Yes, figured it out. And I kind of liked that mentality. And I just tried to figure everything out. And I said, yes, I think there's a lot of value to that. But I also think it's yes if. I just don't think I knew the yes if part early on. And yes if can be like, you know, yes if it fits my focus, like yes if it falls into these categories. So you don't actually say yes to everything. It's just a lot of the people that look like they say yes to everything, say yes to everything that they kind of very quickly analyze fits within their value prop and their trajectory. Like I actually say no to lots of things. And I brought this up then in the conversation, you know, I don't go out partying anymore. I don't go gamble in Vegas. I don't fly around and do stuff like that. Now it looks like I'm doing a lot of things, but I'm giving up a lot of things too. And if you say yes to everything, that's also going to be going out with your friends the night before an exam when you should be studying. It also means, right, going and playing basketball instead of showing up to a meeting you have with a mentor, right? So those are saying yes to things, but not the right things. And so it's kind of a yes if mentality. And I think you can put that yes if into play when you enter in the work world, that, you know, look, if you're brought, the boss brings you something, it's like, yes, if you have the capability of doing it. Like if you don't want to take on projects, you just can't do either. Like you don't have the skill set, you don't have the capacity. So you do have to balance all those things together.
No, I 100% agree. I think for the most part, I always had the mentality of opportunities weren't going to come my way naturally. So if there was a chance and someone gave me an opportunity, just say yes and figure it out, right? But I think we've grown we grew up in a situation which is way different in our professional lives, where it was less social media driven. There was less sort of these focuses on optimizing literally every aspect of your life. I mean, Tim Ferriss came out with the 4-hour work week, and then people were like, well, I want to live that lifestyle. Well, what they don't really realize is like, there was 15 years before that required putting in a lot of work to be able to get to the point that you know exactly what's important, what's not important. And I think everyone sort of has to get there. I mean, we focus on time management, but it's the key time, right? Like the inefficiencies of your time are important because you need those life lessons to figure out what's important, what's not important, so that you know what to cut out in the future. I personally, early on, I was lucky, obviously, to go to Naval Academy. The Naval Academy just stresses upon you. Like, if you show up on time, you're in trouble, right? So you got to get there early. If you show up late, you're definitely in trouble, right? And so that created 4 years of that created a lifestyle of like, okay, basically, I got to show up early because if I'm on time, I'm late, right? Because you never know when the meeting's going to get started. And So that sped forward that mentality. And then I realized, like, in order to stand out, I needed to do more things. So I have to be very efficient with what I do. Well, that required, like, while my friends were going out partying and stuff, and I wanted to be a doctor, I had to cut back. I had to figure out how to do both at the same time. So some days that meant I brought my MCAT flashcards to the bar while we watched a game, and everyone's like, "What are you studying for?" And I'm like, "I'm trying to go to medical school." So understanding time management is one. Yeah, I have been gifted and the ability to multitask, but believe it or not, as I age, same with you, like I write down more stuff and I don't multitask as much because the tasks that have come to me now are way more difficult than the ones that I was getting 20 years ago where I could multitask easily. Those are easier tasks. These days, it requires the things that I'm tackling requires a lot more of my focus. So instead of multitasking on 3 to 4 things, I focus on one thing, do it very, very well, and then move on to the next thing. That's part of the evolution of time management. And I think as we grow older, we need to be able to really understand that. But when you're 19, 20 years old, 23 years old, your time management is largely going to be taken up by you figuring out how to get in the room and be in the room and be present as opposed to being somewhere else that is not a value add.
Yeah, and I think you brought up the Naval Academy aspect, but I think that's most athletes, right? 5 minutes early, you're on time, right? 15 minutes early, you're early. If you're on time, you're late. And, you know, I remember our coach telling us that growing up. And, you know, I'm amazed at how many people just show up late to things or don't show up at all after you've told somebody you're going to be somewhere. And I think, you know, what you're doing in those situations, though, is you're doing a lot of thing. You're saying a lot of things without saying anything by not showing up to stuff, right? You're saying all of a sudden that either, right, it's not important to you, right? You're not serious, you know, or you're not committed to it, something along those lines. Now, look, things come up in life, you know, emergencies happen and you can't make it, but that's what communication, especially nowadays, the world's changed so much that an email, a text, even if it's at the time you're supposed to be somewhere, really goes a long way to managing that part. You know, telling somebody 2-3 days later, sorry, I missed a meeting or sorry, I didn't show up, you know, doesn't really cut it anymore in today's kind of expectation world. And so I think that's really important. Like if you're supposed to be somewhere, you have an opportunity, you need to show up and you need to show up well. If not, right, you can't make it or you don't want to do it, you need to excuse yourself out of that stuff earlier because, you know, you actually will, you know, you're kind of using up social capital out there too when you don't show up to something. And, you know, you might not realize it, but those things all add up over time. And you don't show up to a bunch of meetings, you show up late a lot of times, you know, that becomes part of your brand, which we've talked about before. And you've now expended a lot of social capital on something you could really easily control. So I think that those are just base level things. But, you know, it's also a world with lots of distractions in today. And, you know, very quickly somebody starts binge watching TV shows or playing on their phone and they miss a meeting. And, you know, what you just did there is you traded some of your trust, you know, for not showing up. We'll be right back with the show. But first, I wanted to tell you a bit about our sponsor and the production company behind the FinServe podcast, PodPony. Are you on the lookout for a podcast producer? How about a content boost or even someone to help take your brand to the next level? Well, let's face it, creating content and keeping up with a content schedule just isn't easy. That's where PodPony comes in, your all-in-one content partner for thought leaders and business owners. From media coaching, podcast production, blogs, webinars, newsletters, website support, social media, or any other facet of the content world, they've got you covered. From initial concepts and strategies to production and distribution, the experts at PodPony are with you every step of the way. They'll help you create customized content that turns heads and brings in business. All you have to do is show up and do what you love. They'll handle the rest. So saddle up with PodPony by visiting podpony.com and start your content journey today. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, I also think I'm going to cut the younger generation some slack too, right? Like you and I, we went through college at a time that social media was just beginning, right? cell phones weren't really that like technologically savvy, right? We had the phones that had black and white screens or green screens, and they weren't smartphones, right? And the people who are coming out of college today, it's these things are ubiquitous. I mean, you see them everywhere. Everyone has one. And I think
that thing was smart.
Yeah. Oh, Snake was definitely awesome. Snake was definitely awesome. Or you have the brick Nokia phone. Yeah. But I mean, I think we've gotten to the point where everyone sort of has all the information at their fingertips, and there's a lot of distractions that can take place, right? Part of time management is understanding, like, for instance, in basketball, where there's a pace to the game, right? The very, very important parts, you go a little bit slower at. It seems fast because you're very efficient with your moves, but then like the pace of the game, you got to understand the pace of your day, right? There are going to be times where you need to slow down and you need to compress it. Like for me, I know what I value. I know I value my time with my family. I value being able to help other people out. So I carve out certain amounts, but I also know that I need time for me because I need a chance to decompress. So after a certain point of time during the day, I don't do any work, right? And I've been like that for a long time, including in med school. I know that, hey, I calculated so many hours I need to study over 4 years in order to get to where I needed to be. And so every day I chipped away at that value. And then I didn't go over, right? And if I was deficient on a day before, I didn't try and make it up all in one day. I just made it up slowly over time. And I think we have to do a better job of really explaining that to people and really helping them understand what direction they really want to go in, right? If you tell me you really want to be a financial advisor, you really want to be an investment manager, but then you don't actually put the time in, and I see that you're committed to those things, like, hey, I set up a meeting for you, but you showed up 15 minutes late. That tells me you don't value this opportunity. That tells me you don't value your own time, because you wasted your own time and you wasted mine by showing up to this meeting 15 minutes late.
Yeah. I was looking at it's not Harvard Business Review this time, so I found a different article, which is really good for us. But I found one that was talking about workers, but I thought it made a lot of sense probably to everybody. But they said 98% of workers say they experience at least 3 to 4 interruptions to their workday every single day, and that we've ended up in this, you know, kind of society of distractions, right, and interruptions. And I got to interview some, I guess they're scientists, but they did kind of behavioral work, and it was really interesting. This kind of like hacking productivity. And they talked about how distracting all the interactions are on, you know, we work mostly on our computers nowadays for a lot of professionals, and that, you know, we've got 9-10 different pop-ups. We're in a meeting, our email's coming up, text messages are coming in, you're using Teams or something like that, and you got additional message coming up. And they're talking about how much more productive you are when you shut those down. So, and I've really kind of thought about that recently, and I've gone so far in my main meeting that I have every week where I'm kind of leading my team, like I shut everything else down. Then I turn my phones off. I make sure I shut down the email so it's not popping up, because I've had those moments in time where, like, you're trying to, you know, I'll take it back to school. Somebody, you're trying to study, and all of a sudden you get that text message and it's say, hey, when can we talk? And it's like, you know, it's just kind of wearing on you then, and you can't focus even if you block that as your focus time. And so if you're trying to be really focused, shut down those distractions, turn the phones off, turn the email off, turn the notifications off, even if it's just for blocks of time. So if you're thinking about that, you know, you need to study for 40 minutes, block it off, shut down the other distractions, focus on it, and then take that break. I've always been a big fan of that part too, is like, you know, a lot of people, I remember one of my friends, he would always be like, oh, I studied for 6 hours straight. And I'd be like, there's no data out there in the world that says that's actually effective, that like your brain has trouble recategorizing information at that point. So you actually do need to take like breaks for your brain to store the information, categorize it, and then go back to it. And so that to me is always important. However you structure your day, make sure you have enough time to let your brain kind of reset. Because if not, it can't take all that information for most people and actually properly store it. So I know those are a couple different things, but you know, think about shutting down distractions, block time, and enough time to rest. That's also hydration, you know, too, in there. It's, you know this as a doctor, hydration is critically important for our brain's functions.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because there's this tendency in quote unquote hustle culture on social media to talk about no sleep, right? I can do so many things on no sleep. You're trying to prove to someone else. You're actually doing harm to yourself, right? Because as you mentioned, there's no data to suggest that if you study for 6 hours, that it immediately is going to make you better in your learning, right? The whole goal with studying or learning something is to be able to move it from your short-term memory to your long-term memory. The only way it does that is if your brain has had enough time to process that and actually store that in your long-term memory. Early on, when you're sitting there cramming, right? This is why cramming doesn't work, is because when you stay up all night, your brain's tired and it can't store any of it in your short, in your long-term memory. It's only going to remember what you most recently, if that, read. Now, what I learned in medical school was that if I studied for without breaks for an hour, my brain would get tired. So I scheduled 15-minute breaks or 5-minute breaks every hour for me to go on Facebook, to go on ESPN, so that my brain could take a mental break and do something completely not hard and veg out and then get back to it. And I did that every hour, but that allowed me to be very efficient, right? I also made sure that I took lunch breaks. I didn't work through my lunch break, right? Because your brain, again, needs that time. This is part of time management. I have this thing where I sometimes get intensely focused and I forget to eat, I forget to hydrate. And then by the end of the day, I feel like crap. And then I carry that over into the next day. Mm-hmm. And surgeons are notoriously bad at it, right? Because we go through this culture where we're like, eat when you can, sleep when you can, right? Because we're always busy. But in reality, like, we're not always busy. There is time, right? Mm-hmm. You're walking between buildings. That is time for you to not worry about things. That is time for you to grab something to drink. That's time for you to grab a granola bar. That's part of being efficient with your time. While you're sitting there chit-chatting, you could also be eating. You can be taking a quick 15-minute nap. Those are things for you to think about. Oh, the notification part is important. I have my Apple Watch on today, but I've been on crutches, so it's difficult for me to answer my phone. So it's easier to answer for an Apple Watch, but I actually prefer not to wear an Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. I prefer no notifications on my phone. My work email, I only check 2 times a day. I check it in the morning and I check it at night, right? Because what happens is the easiness and the low barrier to sending an email. It's not like we have to go to a post office and send snail mail, right? People can just send it all day. And if you sit there, there will be things for you to respond to all day and you'll never get anything of your top 5 done.
Yeah. And I'll drop a couple other things that are tied to there. You mentioned the top 5. Whatever the list is, so, you know, Ron, who we mentioned before, really has always hammered through the 6 most. And I love that. I still use it. I've been using it for years now. And I don't always do it at the beginning of the week anymore. I think when I did, I was the most productive I was. But I'd write down the 6 most important things I was going to accomplish that week. And then that day, like, what are the 6 most important things I need to do today? I think you can do 5. I think you can do 3. I think it's just it's a practice of prioritizing. I don't think you can do 10. I've done that where my list gets to 10. And what you realize is you actually don't hit 3 or 4 of them, right? So somewhere in that 3 to 6 is the sweet spot. You can probably do 6. More than that, you're going to stop hitting things. And then that's when you lose sight of your, you know, 6 most important means you're going to do those 6 that day. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't have to be massively transformative things. It's like one of the 6 most important things today is, right, that, like, you've got to make this meeting on time to prep and be present. Like, that's okay. That's okay to be one of the 6 most important things that day. So I thought that's a very powerful technique to write that down every day. It helps focus. It also gives you a little bit more of a sense of accomplishment at the end of the day. Like you look back and you're like, hey, I did all six. So even if a bunch of other things didn't get done and a bunch of things went off the rails that day, somebody got mad at you, you're like, yeah, but I did the six most important things I was supposed to. And like you can take pride that you did that because those are the things you control. Another thing that kind of you were talking about, I'll take this one, was, you know, that movement. I think movement during the day is really important. I think work from home, we've actually seen, was really detrimental to movement, that people actually sit like an extra hour a day. And the more time you sit, like the shorter your life expectancy. It's like one of the closely tied things, right? And Stanford Center for Longevity actually wrote a whole paper on this during kind of COVID, was like how detrimental this could be for long-term health as we work from home. We don't move around. We don't go to the water cooler, quote unquote. But I think finding ways in your day to find movement's really important. You know, that's going to help you be sharper. It gets, you know, your whole body just up and out of the kind of stuck aspect of where you're sitting. And then finding breaks from things. I didn't know this, but I was told one of the best ways to kind of reset our mind and find breaks is actually when we do things that our brain actually can't pick up on. So what that meant was like, if you listen to music, you're actually, the most relaxing music tends to be what? Like instrumental music, your brain really can't pick up all of it. So it's not listening to the words. It's not doing as many other things, or even listening to music in other languages. So if you listen to like French music, but you can't speak French, it actually allows your brain to reset a lot better. And so you think about that when people get put in relaxing areas, they play instrumental music and it's part of that. When there's words that we can associate with, our brain tries to pick them up. It tries to listen. It's trying to interact with them. And so there's kind of a whole aspect of that. If you're trying to relax, yoga, whatever it is, you know, think about doing that, right? Whether it's instrumental music or music that you can't kind of allow your brain to react as much with. And I thought that was really interesting because naturally, I actually went to the fact that like I listen to French cooking music when I cook and that's my decompress. And then I finally, like when I had this, I was saying I was meeting with those scientists that do productivity hacking. And that was one of the things they said is our brain reacts to music with lyrics in it. So you shouldn't listen to that when you're trying to relax. And I thought that was super interesting because like, you know, a lot of people have their hype music, which is a different thing, but like relaxing music, you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. Like in all these situations, they remove lyrics from it to allow me to relax.
Yeah. See, I'm actually different, right? So like I realize, so when I was my first year of medical school, I was like, I had this extreme fear. Like, I was like, man, you know, I was doing well. Then I was like, but when's it going to happen? When am I not going to do well? And I was just waiting for the next thing. And then finals came up and I was listening to the second years talk about how people were failing out and this and that. And I didn't realize at the time, and I didn't know it at the time, I had this like anxiety that hit me. And I put on like loud rap music, and that actually got me calm and focused me in and allowed my brain to get away from the anxiety to focus enough to actually study. And I did great on the finals. And then after that, I forever, in order to combat the anxiety of being fearing like I was going to fail or things of that sort, I put on loud rap music. So I was known for that, mm-hmm. right? Of having this very loud music that, and these giant headphones where I would listen to loud music in order to get me to focus. And that's how I could sort of still narrow down. Now I know more about myself these days that I don't need to do that. But if I truly, truly need to get a project done, the loud rap music comes on and focuses me in. Because what I figured and I also noticed is that if I can learn in that hectic of a situation, then I really knew the subject, right? Because my brain really had to narrow it down. But I agree, there are certain things like jazz is something that tends to mellow me out a little bit and be able to like really focus. But I mean, that part of understanding and really getting yourself focused in. And again, time management isn't necessarily about planning out every hour of your day. It's just being very intentional about the time that you have.
Yeah, and I'll give two other things to add on there is, you know, being intentional. This is not one that I use, but I have seen a lot of effective CEOs and leaders use this, which is like, I'll say like email and text response time. So they actually will push, right? Like they don't answer emails all day long, just in a flow of emails. It's actually super distracting when you think about that. They block, you know, end of day or morning. And that's when they deal with all emails, right? And they come in, they knock those out. Now that's hard in some aspects of life when you have to be more reactive. But that doesn't mean that you have to answer emails all day long, 24/7. It does mean you could, you know, have chunks of time where you're 45 minutes of working, then you go check and see, hey, are there important messages that came in the last 15 minutes? If there aren't, deal with those. If there are, you know, if there are, deal with them. If there aren't, move on. So you can still protect your time throughout the day. Actually, I had two more. So I also love defensive calendaring, which is just block time for yourself, right? Like go to your calendar, block time that people can't block over. And then the last one, and I think this is a highly effective strategy or trick of a lot of very successful people, is remove the decisions you have to make in a day, right? The number of them. I probably didn't say that exactly right, right? Remove the number of decisions you have to make or limit them in a day. So if you see a lot of really successful people, they wear the same outfit every day, right? Well, why? Because they don't have to get up and decide, hey, does this match with this? Does this fit? They know I've got a set number of outfits or a set outfit. I look good and I feel comfortable in it. I'm going to rock that. Now, that's not for everybody. Some people really care about fashion. It's important to them. It's a way to express, and that's okay. But that's one order of things you could get rid of. The other one is food, right? I eat a couple different things a day, right? Narrow that down instead of every day thinking, you know, the whole morning, wow, what am I going to eat for lunch? Where am I going to go out for lunch? Am I going to bring food? Like narrow that decision down. If that means you make food or you eat the same thing or similar things, you know, or you come up with a set way to do it, that's fine. And there's lots of those little things in life, though, you know, the way you drive to work. You know, sometimes you might have 9 different ways to get somewhere and you kind of check every day on which one's faster. That might not be the best strategy. You might just say, here's the simplest way to work every day and it's a straight shot. And yeah, it's 3 minutes slower. But I'm just going to deal with that because I don't have to decide I got to cut around back roads, make 5 different turns. I can go on one road straight there. And, you know, you actually see a lot of people that drive to work that way, right? They don't want that decision while they're driving and they just go the easier way. And that's okay because it's removing these other pieces in our mind. And I think what are the things you can that are not important decisions that you can remove or things you can bring into life that makes life more efficient? So like, I got a mini fridge in my office this year and I have it with like sparkling water and these granola bars in there because I do need those. And what I was realizing though is like to walk all the way out to the kitchen and down or go outside and go get them, a lot of times is wasting too much time for me. So I do need that break, but I can have that right inside my space too without having to like go out and get distracted, talk to 5 people on the way out. And, you know, that doesn't mean I need it every day like that, but it's allowed me to narrow down some of those decisions and just wasted time.
I agree. I didn't realize that, you know, I forgot that about my personality. I wear the same thing. I mean, luckily in the hospital, I just go put on scrubs, right? Yeah. Outside the hospital, I know Monday through Friday what I'm putting on. I wear the same shoes every single time. And it's all based on situation. If I'm going to the hospital, I wear X shoes. If I am going to this hospital, I wear this, right? And majority of the time, it's some combination of a hooded sweatshirt and comfortable pants, compression socks, and a t-shirt. That's it, mm-hmm. right? And a hooded sweatshirt is whether or not it's hot or cold. It's always lightweight, and I just go. And that's just me, right? And I know every meal that I'm going to eat. I know what I'm going to eat. I know how I'm going to do it, and I plan out, right? And those decisions aren't very complicated. I keep it down to very simple things. And that I don't want to spend time making those decisions that actually don't provide a whole lot of value back for me, right? And so I steal time back, right? And so a lot of people, they struggle, hey, what I'm going to wear and things of that. Like, I don't really care about any of that. Is it comfortable? Is it look good on me? Okay, I need to go. Like, that actually doesn't provide me any feedback. Now, if the whole goal is for me to be a speaker somewhere, yeah, I'm very cognizant about what I need to wear, but I offload that to my wife, right? And so my wife plans all that. Yeah. And so I just wear what, and so I don't have to make that decision.
Yeah. And that, and I don't think everybody wants to do this, right? But I have 8 of the same dress shirt, right? 8 of them. And people used to make fun of me for it, but like I know, and I have, you know, a bunch of the exact same suits. They're the exact same size from Express. They fit me without tailoring. And that was important to me too. Like I found shirts and suits that fit me without tailoring. So I didn't have to worry about that. And so I wear those. So I know that they all match the same suits, so I can't mismatch anything by accident and show up and not really have what I want. And it makes life a lot easier for me. I just don't think about it. I think a funny one is taking it back to school. I'll close on my side with this story and you can take it wherever you want. But, you know, I was really cognizant of spending money in school on food. And I think I've told you this one before, but like I decided at one point that like the bone-in hams were the single cheapest like meat product out there, right? Like per pound, it was like, you know, it's like 26 cents per pound when you buy those and cook them. And I was like, okay. So like I used to just eat like ham sandwiches every day for like a whole month. It's like the only thing I ate. And then I was like, I'm pretty sure I smell like a ham. And so I had to shift back to like chicken breasts and chicken breast sandwiches. But, you know, but I do remember though, like that's what I ate. Like, I mean, I ate like 3 sandwiches a day of that, like mayonnaise, white bread, and ham. But one thing it did is like, I did not think about food at all then, right? Like, especially like a week or two in, you're just like, that's all I'm eating. I don't have to think about what I'm making. I don't think about where it's coming from. I don't have to think about like the financial stress that buying something else is going to put on me either. And so it actually narrowed down a lot of my like stuff, not just even like time management, but it narrowed down like where my brain then was concerned when I was buying other types of food and, you know, how am I managing my money right then. It actually cut out a lot of that for me too, which was helpful at that time.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I remember that story you told me, man. I still can't believe you ate that much ham. But, you know, I'll end on this, man. And this is very important. How you manage your time will dictate how successful you are in the future. And I don't say that to the point that every minute has to be accounted for. I think that putting in the work early on, you're going to be very, very inefficient with your time, and that's okay. But you need to get as much value out of that inefficiency as possible. As you become more successful, as you grow up and get older, you're going to get even more efficient because the things that you were doing early on don't take as much time now, right? Because you have experience. But you have to be realistic about things. You can't come in and be LeBron James from the beginning, right? So I'm thinking that you're going to get a 4-hour work week. That's just not going to happen, right? You have to understand where you are and your progression on where you want to be, but doing the very simple things, showing up early, making sure you understand what takeaways are from the meeting, getting things done appropriately, minimizing your distractions, and minimizing the amount of decisions that you need to make per day, and limiting your brain power to the decisions that provide value are of the utmost importance. And if you can master those things, you will be very successful in your career.
Hey, look, you actually got it right. I messed that one up like 3 times when I tried to do it and you closed it out well. So there you go.
There you go. There you go.
Appreciate it. And yeah. Thanks, everyone, for checking us out today and listen to this. And hopefully this was a good use of your time today. You got a couple tips out of here, something you can put into place in your life and try it this week. You know, different pieces work for different people. So test it out. See what's working for you, my friend. Rest up, get that knee better. You know, our basketball careers are coming back, I hear, you know, so it's.
Yeah, you can finally beat me with bum knee, man.
Yeah, I could take you right now, tonight.